Hi, I'm Jim Harden. This is Proof of Life. Follow me on all your favorite podcast platforms. Like and share and comment. I'd love to hear from you. State of the Union is today, Thursday, March 7th. And I believe the State of the Union, I predict the State of the Union will be used as a kind of Democrat stump speech for the re-election of the Biden administration. I say re-election of the Biden administration because that's what it is. VP Kamala Harris is taking the lead. She's the face of the Biden campaign, and the Biden campaign and all Democrat campaigns are focusing on abortion. They're using abortion as their kind of cornerstone of their election campaign strategy. In fact, so much so that they're influencing their voter base, and exit polls from a lot of the caucuses and primaries are saying that of Democrat voters, abortion is the key issue. That's not because they're interested in abortion so much as that's what the Democrats are talking about. So it's driving the discussion. And I would encourage any Republican or conservative candidates to do the same thing. You know, their exit polls are saying the Republicans are one of the biggest issues for them is the border crisis. Well, it's related to abortion as well. They need to start talking about the fact that we need to protect all people equally. The border crisis, based on 22 state attorneys general last week in an open letter to the FBI, Director Christopher Wray, and the Department of Homeland Security, are saying that 85,000 children, immigrant children, are being lost and sold into sex trafficking all across the country to all points north. What is the primary kind of result of sex trafficking? Pregnancy. Abortion is the glove that covers the hand of the sex trafficking crime syndicates. And people need to know that. I've been saying that for a long time. I said it when I was standing shoulder to shoulder with congressmen in January at a press conference. And we're starting to see victims, sex trafficking victims, coming out and filing lawsuits against the Epstein sex crime syndicate in New York. So that's all positive and going in the right direction. We're also seeing awareness being raised around this critical issue through attorneys general across the states. My prediction as well that tonight during the State of the Union that Joe Biden will promote abortion. They're promoting abortion in two ways. The first way is through talking about how conservatives, Republicans, pro-lifers are going to be robbing women of their reproductive rights. And the second way is that Republicans and conservatives are going to be putting women's lives at risk by denying them critical health care. Now, tonight, Jill Biden, Joe's wife, invited Katie Cox to be a special guest. Kate Cox, as a special guest at the State of the Union address, is an important statement because Kate Cox ostensibly was denied critical health care in Texas because she wanted to get an abortion. She wanted to abort her trisomy 18 baby, who she named Chloe. Not because it was going to harm her health in particular, because there is no increased health risk to a woman who's pregnant carrying a child that may have a genetic anomaly. Trisomy 18 babies can live. Just ask former presidential candidate for the Republican nomination in 2016, Rick Santorum. He has a trisomy 18 girl who is now about 15 years old. Kate Cox and her husband, Justin, wanted to abort their baby, Chloe, in Texas because they didn't want to have potentially a disabled child. This is eugenics, ladies and gentlemen. This is barbaric eugenics. We want to have designer babies made to order. We want to have perfect little children. There is nothing that makes baby Chloe's life less worth living just because she has trisomy 18. Now, it wasn't confirmed, by the way, that she did have trisomy 18. They did make a trip to New Mexico to get a late-term abortion. But no one told Kate Cox that a late-term abortion, while they were, they're telling the world that Kate Cox's life was put at risk, her health was put at risk because she wasn't able to get this, she wasn't able to abort her baby Chloe, okay? Well, how uncompassionate. Texas didn't allow her to kill baby Chloe. So she went to New Mexico and they had their twisted, cruel compassion and gave her this abortion. But they didn't tell Kate Cox the truth about what a late-term abortion will do to Kate Cox, okay? What a late-term abortion does is it increases her risk of breast cancer by 42%. And there's a dose effect, by the way. The more abortions you have, the higher your risk goes. They didn't tell Kate Cox that if she wants to have future babies, which is one of the reasons why she wanted to get this abortion, because she wanted to have another child. They didn't tell her, though, that late-term abortion creates cervical incompetence because you have to instrument the cervix, reducing the ability to carry subsequent children to full term, which means future preterm deliveries, which increases morbidity and mortality of those children. Well, if there's a morbidity problem, what's going to happen when the baby's born and this baby's going to have, you know, born early and their next baby's going to have all these health problems? Are they going to kill that baby too? I mean, that's the kind of ethical, kind of logical conclusion you have to get to. We are a barbaric society that no longer understands how to look at what it means to be human under God in the initial stages of life, and what it means to be a married couple bearing children. Look, we're in a moral crisis in America. Same thing with IVF. IVF is in the news these days, and even Christians don't know how to think about IVF. Christians don't. There's a doctrinal and moral poverty in this country such that we don't have the ethical Christian framework through which to filter these bioethical concerns. Our technology has gotten ahead of our morality, and our morality is being driven by our sentimentality. Well, look, everybody should be able to have a child. Everybody should be able to grow their family however they want. But now we've created IVF clinics, basically baby making, manufacturing, conglomerates, multi-billion-dollar industry, to give parents, babies made to order. Babies' embryos are being destroyed at four different points in the IVF process. As soon as a child is created at the point of fertilization, that's a fully and equally human, and the Alabama Supreme Court agreed 8-1, okay? A child is a child, no matter what. I mean, even Dr. Seuss recognizes it, a person is a person no matter how small. Look, when I say four different points of destruction in the IVF process, how many babies are you willing to kill in order to get the one you want? This is classic, barbaric destruction of children. And the same thing goes, by the way, with these pro-abortion and ostensibly pro-life Republican or conservative politicians, with these barbaric discussions about, arrogant hubris that says, hey, I think we should just arbitrarily choose a 15-week cutoff for abortion, 15-week limit. Why? What makes a child more human at 15 weeks than 14 weeks? What kind of power are we vesting Republican or any kind of representative with the ability to decide which human qualify for protection of the law and which ones don't? That's not what I wanted to talk about. I didn't want to talk about IVF today. Although, if you want to know what I really think about IVF, and I've gotten pushback from this because a lot of people, I'm not saying that your IVF grandbaby is evil. Okay, we're all born to sin. I'm just saying that the IVF process is unethical. Look at my article at Newsmax. Go to Reverend Hardin's Hard Truths. I've got a column, and my most recent column was published, I think, yesterday, March 6th. And I talk about how what the nature of IVF is and why it's unethical. Go look at that. So what I would also encourage you to do as human beings, the way in which we process information when information comes to us, it processes through our emotions first. But in order to get to higher brain function and reason, we've got to actually push through the emotional response to force ourselves to think clearly, okay? Now, it's more difficult to do that when we're inundated with this infinite stream of information coming to us from our smartphones. So I would encourage you to self-reflect a little bit, take a step back from the emotion, and then look at my article wherein I said some hard truths. And we as Christians understand that loving your neighbor comes with the corollary in Leviticus to reprove your neighbor. And sometimes we have to reprove ourselves. That's the nature of discipline. Being a disciple of Christ means we align ourselves with him. It means that we recognize in all humility that we are wrong, okay, and that we need to align ourselves rightly with the character and nature of God so that we protect all people equally, the crown of creation, and we don't mistreat it in any way, disrespect it. We are to dignify all humans in all stages and stations of life. What I wanted to talk about today was CVS and Walgreens, the pharmacy companies, the companies that distribute pharmaceuticals. CVS and Walgreens in particular, 1 year ago, almost to the day, agreed with 22 different state attorneys general when they sent an open letter to Attorney General, Merrick Garland. And they said, look, we're gonna protect all of our citizens. It is against the law to sell these drugs in our states. And by the way, it's also against the federal law to ship these drugs across U.S. borders and state lines. It's happening every day. It needs to be prosecuted. A year ago, January, Merrick Garland said he wasn't going to enforce the Comstock Act, okay? This law was originally published or passed in the mid to late 1870s, but it was modified in the 1970s and again in 1990. So it is up to date, even though you've got pro-abortion politicians saying it's Victorian age antiquated morality. I wonder if they'd say the same thing about the Emancipation Proclamation. Ouch. When is it okay to murder? Oh, have we outgrown that particular piece of advice from the Bible? Thou shalt not murder. Oh, that's antiquated morality. I mean, whatever. I mean, what does this represent? Antiquated morality, and who's to say what morality is antiquated? The morality that we're creating in America is if you can do it, you should. This is to say something like, just because we're a generation or two or three, beyond a previous generation, where it means we're more advanced morally. It seems like we're devolving. What's driving our morality is this Darwinian evolutionary kind of Nietzscheistic will to power. I can do whatever the blankety blank I want to do. It's the primary core value of our moral system is absolute autonomy. Me. And whatever I feel like I should, that should make me happy. There is no common understanding of purpose. Purpose is what defines decision-making in terms of right and wrong. This decision helps me accomplish my purpose, therefore it's right. This decision hinders me from accomplishing my purpose, therefore it's wrong. Now, if everybody's got a different version of purpose of what it means to be human, then you've got competing core values and competing desires that whereby the state has to step in and arbitrate between these competing core values. So, but the Republicans and the Democrats both have the same core value, and that is autonomy. They just have different visions of how that autonomy plays out. So what I'm saying, here is with respect to CVS and Walgreens, they decided to distribute mifepristone, chemical abortion drug. And a year ago in March, they said, no, these 22 state attorney generals are correct. We're not going to be selling these drugs in at least these 22 states. So what they decided to do, oh, and by the way, the Supreme Court of the United States of America has picked up a case with respect to mifepristone, and they will be hearing oral arguments on whether or not the FDA circumvented their own protocols and illegally put this drug on the market in the year 2000 during the Clinton administration's FDA. They did actually circumvent their protocols, and it is harming women. The FDA says 1 in 25 women end up in the emergency room. A recent study shows that 1 in 10 women who take the chemical abortion drug end up in the emergency room. You've got teleabortionists who are unethically distributing this drug without even diagnosing pregnancy. that are telling women to go to the emergency room if they experience complications, and tell the and lie to the emergency room doctors and say you're experiencing a miscarriage. Why? Because they don't want the heat. They don't want people to know that mifepristone causes hemorrhaging and sepsis and future pelvic inflammatory disease, which causes future ectopic pregnancies and internal scarring. They don't want women or the public to know that this is a multi-billion dollar industry that gets politicians like Joe Biden reelected. And here's the thing. What legal team in their right mind would say, hey, you know what would be a good idea? A good idea. Here's a good idea. Let's put something that's a very dangerous drug that is currently being reviewed by the Supreme Court of the United States of America this month. Let's put that drug on the market. What legal team? That legal team ought to be fired unless they're in league, you see. Because what is the one of the primary tactics that the pro-abortion politicians are using to get themselves reelected? It's abortion. But the message around abortion is robbing women. So what's going to happen is CVS and Walgreens are going to put it out there. Mifepristone is going to be offered through these pharmacies. These pharmacies on the street corner, every pharmacy on the corner, Walgreens, CVS, they become abortion clinics. That's what they become. Protected by Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, okay, by the FBI and the DOJ, and anybody that protests outside them is going to be, any pro-lifers are going to be hauled into court, hauled off to jail. And in the end, the Supreme Court is going to tell the FDA, go back to the drawing board and do your job. Take this back off the market and send this mifepristone through its paces. They're scared to death. Why? Because if they send mifepristone through its paces, it will never make it. It'll never make it. It's too dangerous. It's killing women. It's damaging the reproductive health. So we see that the pro-abortion politicians are not actually interested in women's reproductive health. They're not actually interested in access to healthcare. They're not actually interested in any of that. It's just, you know, just words to manipulate the masses in order to get reelected. So if they pull it off the market, let's say the Supreme Court pulls it off the market in, say, April or May or June, then the Biden administration and all these pro-abortion politicians are going to use that as another point of saying, see, they're robbing you. They're eliminating your ability to access your reproductive health. They're robbing you of your rights, of your freedom. They're enslaving you. These antiquated patriarchal Christian nationalists are killing you. That's what they're going to say. Look, they're already saying it. You think I'm not just making this stuff up? People say, "Well, Jim, you're getting too political. You really shouldn't be talking about these things." Look, the Christian is supposed to have a prophetic presence, and a prophetic presence in society is one that also uses words. As I said before, the corollary to loving your neighbor is reproving your neighbor, and that context, that the context is not simply on a one-on-one basis. If you look in the book of Isaiah, you'll find that the context is very public. Actually, if you look at John the Baptist, who Jesus said was the greatest man that ever lived, had his head be cut off because he was telling Herod he can't have his brother's wife. What? That sounds pretty prophetic. I mean, prophetic to me. We have to help the world understand what it means to be human. Christians are the only ones that understand that. And so CVS and Walgreens are somehow, unless they've got idiots for lawyers, and you know they've got thousands or hundreds of them anyway, in their legal teams at both organizations. They're the biggest pharmacy organizations in the country. And if they don't have idiots for lawyers, then what's the alternative for us to understand this move? Maybe similar to saying, like, oh, you know, the lawyers at the Ford Motor Company have this, the Ford Motor Company is considering using this airbag system that deploys at any time while the driver is operating the vehicle, harming both people in the front seats and causing accidents and fatalities. But they're going to use this system anyway. the Supreme Court's considering it, you know, and they're going to be ruling on this, you know, within the next couple months. But they're going to deploy this in their cars anyway, because, you know, why not? You know, it's drivers have a right to use these airbag systems that are saving their lives. That's the kind of political transference that's being used right now. They're intentionally misrepresenting the situation about the nature of mifepristone, this dangerous chemical abortion drug, and then they're saying they're gonna have to pull it off the market to actually protect women. And then they're going to say, oh, instead of protecting women, they're going to be saying you're robbing women. The people that are actually attempting to protect women and children are going to be accused of robbing women of their rights. And people are going to buy this hook, line, and sinker. And people are going to come back to me and say, Jim, you shouldn't be so political. Shame on you. You can edit that out if you want. I apologize. I get a little hot under the collar when we masquerade as such as a humane, compassionate society when we're killing ourselves and saying it's freedom. Good Lord, help us. Can we stop for a second and think clearly about what we're doing to ourselves? I wonder if CVS and Walgreens are going to be training their pharmacists to tell women about the side effects of mifepristone. Will they be trained to tell the women that are receiving these drugs, you know, sit them down at their little countertop there, you know, with the pharmacy and their little glass so they're not going to get sneezed on with the COVID, that this drug will potentially cause sepsis, that this drug will potentially cause hemorrhaging, that this drug will potentially cause pelvic inflammatory disease, that this drug ought not to be taken when you have when it's contraindicated. Say, for example, if you have anemia, are they going to be trained to ask these questions? Are they going to be trained to do what the abortion industry is doing and saying it's perfectly safe and safer than Tylenol? If it's safer than Tylenol, by the way, why is it going through the pharmacies with a prescription? Right? Does Tylenol need a prescription? And I don't think Tylenol sends 1 in 10 people to the emergency room. Are they going to be telling women that the FDA says 1 in 25 women end up in the emergency room? Are they going to be saying that, giving women informed consent about the most recent study that came out saying 1 in 10 women go to the emergency room? Are they going to be telling women that this is 500%, 5 times more dangerous than surgical abortion? Will they be telling them that? Are they going to be asking them if they're under the supervision of a physician? Oh, here's one. Are they going to ask women if they're actually pregnant? Because chemical abortion drug purveyors online like Hey Jane don't do that. They don't have confirmation. Is pregnancy being confirmed? And I'm not just saying, hey, are you pregnant? And the woman says, oh, sure I am. Wait a second. How do you know? We need medical confirmation of pregnancy. And the reason I say that is because the pregnancy needs to be located in the uterus. If you start giving these women drugs who are saying that simply, I'm pregnant, yeah, my last period was 45 days ago, and the actual pregnancy is located in the fallopian tubes, well, the symptoms of mifepristone mimic that of early symptoms of ectopic pregnancy. And so what's she going to do? She's just going to wait, saying this is just a symptom of mifepristone. Meanwhile, that pregnancy is going to continue to develop in fallopian tubes. It's going to rupture, and she's going to die. This has happened and will continue to happen. Not to mention the fact that you're going to have continued, what I call, emergency room miscarriage inflation rates. All of a sudden, you're going to have miscarriage rates going to the emergency room, it ballooning, and they're going to say, wow, it's just miscarriage. Well, what they're doing is they're covering up the massive side effects of mifepristone in order to keep this drug on the market. Why? It's a billion-dollar industry. Half of all abortions in America, 60% now, are chemical abortion. And these chemical abortion drug companies, chemical abortion purveyors, are all violating the law. By the way, are these pharmacists, Comstock Act, that's what I was talking about, are these pharmacists going to be trained to identify sex trafficking and sex abuse and women actually coming to get these drugs? Are there going to be people identifying the men behind them, forcing them to get these drugs? I mean, what's happening here? These are all questions that need to be asked that are not being asked. Meanwhile, you've got these reckless pro-abortion politicians and pharmaceutical companies that don't care about women's health. They only care about this political agenda. And someone needs to throw the red flag up and say, hey, wait a second, I'm not sure this is such a good idea. And there's one other thing. There are pharmacists out there who are pro-life. There are pharmacists out there who understand that life begins at fertilization, the moment of fertilization, when the female gamete and the male gamete, the egg and the sperm, unite and create a unique strand of human DNA. That DNA strand at that moment begins to grow and control the maturation process of that individual from that moment on until natural death. And all that individual needs from that moment on is food, nutrition, hydration, and shelter. Is that any different than you and I? And the answer is, of course, that's rhetorical, no. But these pharmacists that are out there in Walgreens and CVS, they will conscientiously object to participating in abortion. It violates their conscience, and participating in abortion does actually harm your soul. It harms the soul, and it harms the credibility and integrity of the medical system. It harms the women. It harms the child. Participating in this, in abortion, is a cycle of destruction and unethical always and everywhere for everyone. Will these pharmacists stand up and conscientiously object? And I encourage you all to. And if you do conscientiously object, there will be people like, I'm sure, the Thomas More Society, public interest law firm based in Chicago, would be happy to talk with you about protecting your rights. But I would strongly encourage you to listener, gentle listener, to pray, to think clearly, and to talk about these issues with your friends, your family, your pastor, etc. We're running headlong into very bad decision making, moral decision making, as a nation. We see it happening in Alabama. The Alabama governor just signed a piece of legislation protecting the IVF fertility clinic, a $1 billion industry in Alabama, from further liability in case they happen to accidentally destroy, because they intentionally destroy these embryos all the time, but in case they accidentally destroy an embryo that a couple of parents want. But again, they intentionally destroy embryos. But they're saying that, like, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson also, I think, represents the evangelical community in his confusion about the nature of IVF. But when these decisions come up, you know, people run to create legislation to protect something that's very unethical, when in fact they should take a step back and say, this is a perfect moment to stop and reflect on what it means to be human and how we should interact with each other in a civil society. Instead of saying, wait, we should protect IVF. Instead of this knee-jerk, emotional, sentimental response to the idea that parents should be allowed to grow their families, you know, as they see fit, because we're pro-life. Wait a second. Wait. What is this technology? I mean, there's so much happening right now. And by the way, Opill is a hormonal contraception that's being sold over the counter now as well. That was approved by the FDA special expert advisory committee that was stacked with abortion activists, believe it or not, back in July. Essentially, because they were wanting to approve this drug for over-the-counter use, hormonal contraception, because they were afraid mifepristone, the chemical abortion drug, was going to be taken off the market, tacitly recognizing that chemical abortion was being used as contraception. So now they're going to sell this drug over the counter, this hormonal contraception over the counter, to girls without parental consent, when the World Health Organization recognizes this drug as a group 1 carcinogen, up there with plutonium. Did I say this before? You gotta be kidding me. This is like a dystopian novel. It's like right out of 1984. I can't make this stuff up. They're doing this at the same time. All these pharmaceutical companies, CVS and Walgreens in particular, are selling these chemical abortion drugs over the counter while the Supreme Court is considering taking it off the market in 2 weeks. It's like they're thumbing their nose at morality and the law. They're treating the law like a legal buffet to undermine the rule of law and to undermine social, I don't know, civilized order. The O-pill. It is a hormonal contraception, let me just tell you, which causes breast cancer. It's been linked, okay, correlated to breast cancer, liver cancer, ovarian cancer, heart attack, stroke. And you're going to be, I don't know that there's been any toxicology studies that have been done on reproductive health toxicology studies that have been done for girls whose reproductive systems are still in development. Yet they can get this over the counter for $20. Absolute insanity. This is not about protecting women. This is not about protecting girls. This is not about rights. This is about the abortion industry and securing power, more power to the powerful, to the political elite. And it needs to stop. Someone needs to blow the whistle. Someone needs to say enough is enough. Let's protect all people equally. Let's stop this charade of pretending that abortion and this hormonal contraception, which is, by the way, also abortifacient in nature. A lot of my people don't recognize that either. We just need to rehumanize, re-civilize, and take a step back. Take a breath. Everybody, take a breath. Let's not jump to conclusions. The media and the pro-abortion politicians are fomenting discontent and fear, and these pro-abortion politicians are playing right into it. This is a moment to stop and reflect about what it means to be a human and how medical technology should interact with the human reproductive process, what the basic unit of society is, which is the marriage relationship, and how reproductive technology ought to be involved in that. So much going on right now in America with respect to in vitro fertilization, hormonal contraception, chemical abortion. It really kind of makes your head spin. But these are moments where it's important for the people of God and pastors to really dig deep and educate their flock about these extremely important, I'd say, problems, bioethical concerns that we're faced with as a society, and look at them in light of the first principles of the gospel. Oh, and by the way, speaking of which, I wrote a book about that. Are you pro-life for the right reasons? Now, a lot of people talk about being pro-life in terms of science. They talk about being pro-life in terms of their experience with abortion or with respect to adoption or whatever, positive, negative. A lot of people talk about being pro-life from the perspective of, you know, philosophy, but not a lot of people talk about being pro-life from the perspective of theology. Ultimately, that's what this book is all, a little book. Are you pro-life for the right reasons? Christian first principles and the protection of preborn boys and girls. The gospel should have a direct, impact on how we make our daily decisions, whether it's medical decisions, educational decisions, career decisions, how we interact with other people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How the question that we should be asking ourselves as Christians is not how close we can get to sin without being culpable. It's how far away we can keep ourselves from sin so that we can stay as close to God as possible. Those are two fundamentally different questions of orientation of soul. And our job as believers is to get closer and closer to the Lord. And that's what discipleship is all about. Being a disciple of Christ is all about how to walk in a world that is dark and to uncover the deeds of darkness. Those deeds of darkness that really even it's embarrassing to have to talk about these things. The fact that our society has embraced these evils systemically is really unfortunate. But still, this is one of the reasons we're here. This is what faith is for. These are the kinds of mountains that Jesus asked us to move. And so By God's grace, we will. Well, thank you for listening. I am Reverend Jim Harden. This has been Proof of Life. You can follow me again on all of your favorite podcast platforms. And and share and comment. But if you have any beefs or concerns, please write them down in crayon and send them to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Suite LGBTQ, zip code 00666. Thank you. God bless.